baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
It's a beautiful day, but the roar of chainsaws is still heard in many neighborhoods. I had read that an estimated 10,000 trees went down in our area as a result of that thunderstorm on Thursday evening. The one and only Tom Skilling is with us. Welcome back, Tom. How are you today?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm doing fine. It's a gorgeous day in stark contrast to what we saw last Wednesday and Thursday, as you mentioned. It's interesting. We're up to 19 tornadoes that the Weather Service storm survey crews, who are still surveying the damage from that system of storms, 19 tornadoes have occurred, and that surpasses the number that occurred with that infamous August 2020 derecho. Do you remember that one that roared across the Midwest? That thing covered over 770 miles, went through the Chicago area. I was just looking. There were four EF1 tornadoes in that one: Rogers Park, Wheaton, Lombard, and Marengo. This one, last Thursday, produced six EF1 tornadoes. Those are tornadoes that produce 86 to 100 mile an hour winds, and they can do damage. And of course, there were a couple of EF3 tornadoes that really blasted Streeter and the area over in Indiana from Hebron to Counts. There was an EF2 at Merrillville, Indiana. That's a tornado with 111 to 135 mile an hour winds. So these are big deals, Lisa, and not surprising. There was a lot of damage with those.
So was it a derecho this go round? Because that really is based on how many miles wide or long the storm is. I'm guessing, Tom.
I'm trying to learn here. No, you are always well informed on these matters, Lisa. No question about it. The definition of a derecho is a storm, an organized line of thunderstorms that travels at least 250 miles and produces extensive damage along that entire path. We did have a derecho Wednesday night. That thing went through and did its own damage. And then on Thursday, that big severe weather outbreak, which hit the area in the afternoon and evening, and that thing produced a swarm of tornadoes that went across the area. I haven't heard that called a derecho at this point because it wasn't a solid line per se, but it would come awfully close to that. And it's all academic what it's called. The fact of the matter is, that was a really Herculean-type outbreak with many, many tornadoes and a lot of damage. Not only tornado damage, but straight-line wind damage with those thunderstorms.
It was really good to see you covering the storm again on WGN-TV because, of course, we were carrying it. The minute that we got word that, you know, some areas were in danger, we went to the simulcast, and to hear your voice again was wonderful.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was sitting here at my desk, and I've been watching it, and I put things on my Facebook page, just kind of have, a hobby-like interest in these things. Once a weather nut, always a weather nut, as you know, Lisa. But Demetrius called me and said, "Hey, are you watching this?" I said, "Yeah, this looks bad." And he said, "Would you join us tonight?" And for Demetrius, anything. So I joined Demetrius, Alyssa, and Bill Snyder, and we were off and running. And boy, that was a busy evening, to say the least. Do you know the cloud tops on that went up to 54,000 feet at times? I was watching those. That's a humongous thunderstorm. The height of the storm tells you a lot about the updrafts that produce it. And the updrafts are replaced as the air rushes up into the atmosphere and into these clouds. The air around it has to rush in to fill in for it. And that's one of the ways in which these storms develop, not only rotary tornadic circulations, but also as these storms collapse, down comes the cool, rain-cooled air that produces the microbursts and downbursts and the straight-line winds. So, and there was a 140-mile-an-hour jet stream with that above. The reason that's important is because these thunderstorms poke up into those upper-level jet stream winds, and they can pull some of that energy down in their storm gusts, and that's exactly what happened. So it was mean.
You know, Demetrius joins us every Tuesday, just like you used to join us every Tuesday. And on Tuesday, he knew this type of weather pattern was going to develop.
Yes.
And then quickly, as we got closer, Bill Snyder was joining us, and he was saying there's a chance for these spin-ups. And has technology changed now where we can so accurately determine that there will be tornadoes?
No question. This is a byproduct of the modeling, the computer models that you hear. We had indications of that storm outbreak days ahead of time. And you know what's interesting, Lisa, is we get a lot of what we call composite indices that we didn't used to have access to. These are indices that look at A, is the air buoyant? B, does it have a lot of moisture in it? What's the base of the cloud going to be? And are upper winds going to spin the ascending columns of air that develop in that buoyant atmosphere that's been heated and fully humidity? And we had all those ingredients available, over 2 inches of evaporated water in a column of air. And I've always said, we call that the precipitable water. And whenever the atmosphere has that kind of water in it, it's really amazing. If you put other ingredients like a jet stream overhead and a more rapid than normal fall in temperature with height, that's what we refer to as instability. When you hear weather forecasters say, boy, the atmosphere is unstable today, what that means is the air is cooling with height faster than it usually does. Normally, we lose about 3.5 degrees to 5.5 degrees every 1,000 feet you go up through the lower atmosphere. And it was far beyond that on Wednesday and Thursday. And we saw that from our models ahead of time. So, and these composite indices, do you know there's one we call a significant tornado parameter. An index figure of 1 on that is enough to spin up severe weather. We had a 10 and 12 indicated on that particular parameter. So we knew that this was trouble brewing.
Yeah,
and we knew days ahead of time. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I've got other questions. Maybe you do too.
Sure.
You can text them to 312-981-7200. We're going to stop, take a check on current conditions and traffic with Mary, but Tom Skilling is with us until 3. Tom Skilling is with us. We're talking about the 19 tornadoes. It's up to 19 now, right, Tom?
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's amazing, Lisa. There were only 15 in that derecho back in 2020. So this is something. And they, the Weather Service survey teams, there were 4 survey teams that went out there. And there's so much terrain to cover because there were so many of these storms that it's taken a while to process all this. But they say they're still looking. And, you know, they go out these days armed with Doppler radar circulation printouts that show where potential tornadoes occurred, and also they have any reports of damage that they check out as well. So we see more of these storms than we used to because the Doppler radar discovers cells that maybe occurred out in a cornfield somewhere and nobody realized it did any damage to buildings or anything. But that was a mean outbreak, no question about it.
Yeah, and I see that, Tom. We live very rural, you know, where the farm is located.
Yes.
And there have been times where straight line winds or tornadoes have come through and there's no local TV station. There's no one that, I mean, they chat about it at the local coffee shop, but you can see by the damage that it was something, but nobody seems to know. And one of our texters said their sister lives in St. John, Indiana. Tornado hit her block and damaged 7 houses, most of the trees and roof decks. That the pictures are shocking, but they're not saying St. John on the news, but they're still making those rounds trying to determine how many. And like you said, it was bumped up by 2 just in the past few hours.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Lisa, I don't think a lot of people realize this. The way the winds are estimated in these tornadoes, the so-called enhanced Fujita scale, by which we categorize the intensity of storms, is dependent upon damage. These storm survey teams go out and they look at the damage that has been done. And from that damage and the extent of it, they can tell whether it was an EF0, EF1, EF2, and there are 5 levels on the enhanced Fujita scale. So if you have not had damage, even though there's been a tornado, there's no way to assess how strong it was other than with Doppler radar scans, which we can do these days. But oftentimes, because of the curvature of the Earth, the radar signal is shooting over the vortex that's down at the ground doing the damage. And so you don't have a precise wind speed read on it. And therefore, looking at the damage is the best way to really, hone in on how strong that tornado was.
Tom, I have to tell you, you said, you know, once a weather nut, always a weather nut. You know, it's a hobby. It is not a hobby. This, I feel like you've never even fully retired other than when I see you on a beach in Hawaii without your shirt off. And then I think that's what retirement's supposed to look like.
You know, I'll tell you, Lisa, the wonderful thing about growing up with a love and an interest in the weather is, you know, you're walking through the laboratory every single day. And I think that's why there's such a, in our profession, such a dedication to the field and a level of interest in it. Because unlike many career fields, we've grown up watching the weather doing its thing, and therefore we're fascinated by it.
Here's a couple text messages about you, Tom. Listening to WGN-TV coverage on the radio when the power was out was similar to listening to the CSO at Ravinia. So soothing, and it felt like we were being taken care of.
Oh, my. Isn't that something? That's awesome.
Another said, I love Demetrius, but being in my Bartlett basement was very scary, and having Tom's voice coming out of the TV was very calming. Thank you so much.
And, you know, Demetrius, Lisa, Demetrius is, to step into the shoes of somebody who's been there for 45 years and therefore the audience is used to them is not an easy task. That's a pretty high mountain to climb. And if there's anybody who does it, it's Demetrius, I'll tell you. And of course, Bill Snyder's there at his side, always helping out as well. And Alyssa is fantastic. And Tim Joyce, the whole team there. So we have a good group. Good group.
On Friday, this came through, and I thought it was lovely, and this was to be shared with Demetrius tomorrow. But they said, Demetrius, thank you so much for including Tom in your report. So many people with weaker egos would never allow a predecessor to contribute. This speaks well of your strong character as well and the wonderful relationship you had while Tom was still in the office.
You know, isn't that nice? And I'll tell you, it's very perceptive. It really is. And that's just the kind of guy Demetrius is. He is a genuinely nice human being. And we all got along, so we have a lot of fun. You know, I told Demetrius, don't worry about me, Demetrius. I'm not after the job. I punched the clock and had deadlines running for 45 years at WGN and longer than that over my whole broadcast career. So I'm really enjoying kind of doing things closer to my own pace now. But it's really fun to... It was Demetrius who called, and he's been after me before, and I turned him down. But this one looked like such an interesting setup that we thought it probably would be a good thing to have all hands on deck, and it turned out to be the right call.
And tonight you're going to be on WGN-TV News at 9. What is this about? We've been running promos, and I know it's about Captain Margie Freeman, but tell me about
it. Yes. This is really cool. I met Margie Freeman, who is a veteran United Airlines Boeing 787 Dreamliner pilot. You know the monstrous aircraft that Dreamliners are. Margie is a pilot. For 37 years, she's been a pilot with United Airlines. And obviously, she's a woman in a male-dominated profession. And she came up to me. We were waiting to take off in Honolulu. I was flying back to Chicago. And she came back and she said, look, I just wanted to say hi. I'm Margie Freeman. I'm a 787 pilot, and I'm in the jump seat on this particular flight, but I wanted to say hi. And I thought, you know something, we hear more and more women when we're flying coming on when the captain tells us about the flight ahead and all. And all I can think is, you know, the mountain that women have to climb to get into the captain's seat is interesting. I have no idea what's involved. And so I said to Margie, you must have had an interesting career path. And Catherine Zink, who's my producer and worked with me on this, we just thought it was an interesting story to tell. How is it that a young woman, and Margie said, I said, did you drive by airports as a girl, a little girl, and say, I want to fly? She said, I didn't dare tell my family because they would say, oh, you're a woman. You're not able to do this. And so she went to college, first to SIU and then to the University of Illinois, and actually started flying in her college years. She's 11 months from her retirement now because airline pilots must retire at 65. But she is fascinating. And the story that we're going to air tonight follows Margie's track up through the ranks at United Airlines. Do you know that only 5 to 7% of airline pilots in the United States are women? Only 5% of the pilots in the military are women, and only 3% are fighter pilots. United Airlines, interestingly, our Chicago-based airline, has a higher percentage of women. They have 18,000 pilots, and about 7.4% of them are women. And the numbers are growing, but Margie is a role model for women who are coming along, and very much in favor of young women getting more and more involved in aviation. And we'll talk about that tonight. And it's interesting to note, too, Lisa, that her son and daughter are both airline pilots. And isn't that something? So
I love this story. And this is a Tom Skilling story, because this is how perceptive you are. You recognize people's struggles even when they come up just to say hi. You always want to know the story behind the scenes. And that's why you'll never retire from what you love doing. It's just that you're right. You manage your own schedule, and you don't have to put on a suit and tie to do it every day and be in a TV station. And we are so thankful that you still join us.
Are you sweet? And I'll tell you something. The Lisa Dent story would be an interesting story. You know, how in the world Lisa Dent ascended to become an afternoon drive radio host on WGN Radio in Chicago. I mean, that's an amazing story there that we've got to tell.
I got to tell you, Tom, they told me I'm the first woman to host this show in 100 years.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and why is it that way? I mean, it's crazy. You know, my sister said to me, you know, Tom, I couldn't get a credit card until 1980 as a woman. I said, you're kidding, Sue. You know, we males didn't realize that in many cases, and I think it's terrible. But I thank goodness we're in more enlightened times now. And I am, you know, pilots in general, anybody who can fly these humongous aircraft and do it with the kind of safety record that we have in the aviation industry in this country is stunning to me. And male or female, but
yes,
this is really interesting. This story with Margie, and we'll have it on the 9 o'clock news tonight. So Lisa, thank you for letting me talk about that, because I think you're going to enjoy meeting Margie by way of this story tonight.
Well, we're going to be watching for sure. So 9 o'clock on the news, 9 o'clock tonight, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And everybody should be following Tom on Facebook, because he has his own weather channel going on over there. And the photos are fantastic. And I love that you respond to many of the thousands of people who comment. So thank you for joining us, Tom. We think the world of you.
Lisa, the feeling is mutual. It's a joy. You say hi to everybody for me. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. The one and only Tom Skilling.